O King of nations and their desired one, and the cornerstone that maketh both one, come and save man whom thou didst form out of the slime of the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the second time, an apostle during Advent has had his feast day transferred to the next day. Advent is by its very nature an apostolic season of the year, and it is appropriate then that we should honor not only today St. Thomas, but at the beginning of Advent, St. Andrew. Now, St. Andrew is the apostle of the cross, but all apostles are apostles, eyewitnesses of the resurrection, who then have spread the faith throughout the whole world. St. Thomas is frequently considered to be the apostle of belief or the apostle of doubt. Rather, shall we say, the apostle who was prayed to or invoked against doubt for a strong faith and a deep belief in our Lord and in all the truths of our holy faith. There's an interesting other interpretation about the seeming skepticism of this apostle, who sees, curiously enough, so Easter, as it were, in its message, the gospel that was just now read, took place on the Sunday after Easter, low Sunday evening, and now it happens just a few days before Christmas. But they say that is because his feast was so ancient that it was kept before Advent was established, and perhaps even before the great feast of Christmas itself was established. At the beginning, there was first of all the feast of the Epiphany, and then later on the particular feast of the actual day of our Lord's birth, observed in Rome on Christmas Day. St. Thomas is said to be one of those people who is inured to suffering, loyal to the point of death, and then he has the glory to be the first of the apostles to have understood and been perfectly willing to embrace what one writer calls the imperative of the crucifixion. So when our Lord announces that he is going to go to Lazarus' tomb and to raise Lazarus from the dead, and everybody knows that's asking for trouble, because there the Jews are waiting for Christ to arrest him and desiring to crucify him, it is St. Peter who tries to talk our Lord out of suffering and death. And our Lord calls him a Satan, an adversary, or a tempter, because of that. But it is St. Thomas who says, let us go and die with him. Because St. Thomas is the saint who wants to suffer with Christ. So inured is he to every possible deprivation and suffering and sacrifice, that when the good news came of the glory, the joy, the happiness, the resurrection, it caught him off guard. His disposition of loyalty towards our Lord was then more than partly natural and had obscured the true faith in the fulfillment of the prophecy and the teaching of our Savior about his resurrection. But we must say this for, at least for him, wasn't it because he was skeptic that he doubted that it could be so? It was because he was so much fixed on Good Friday that he hadn't given Easter Sunday much thought. Now, for us, it is very important, as we do at every holy sacrifice of the Mass, to understand the truth of Easter Sunday as well as of Good Friday. In other words, to have the 100% perfection of the Catholic faith without any compromise or any holdback in the least. St. Thomas is a good patron saint for that. We call St. Thomas the patron saint of America because perhaps to satisfy or to atone for his lack of ready faith in Christ's resurrection, he is perhaps the best, the most traveled of all the apostles. He went to the Indies, to India, and of course that's the old name for the New World. Remember, I've mentioned before that there are traces of the visit of St. Thomas in Brazil, northern South America, in Central America, in Mexico, and in Alaska. St. Thomas actually traveled over all this territory, making converts, spreading the faith. It died out, but there were little traces that were left, because the apostles went to every country of the world, and they preached the faith there. So St. Thomas is our apostle. and we must pray today in a particular way for the conversion of our nation. Thus it is appropriate that after Mass we have the O Antiphon. As we continue now towards the end of our Christmas novena, we pray to our Lord who is coming as the King of Nations and their desired one. If he is the King of Nations, the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy, he is King in reality because of the work of the apostles who've gone to all of the nations to spread the true faith. And then our Lord is saluted as the cornerstone that makes both one. That refers to the Jews, the Old Testament, the First Covenant, and then the Gentiles, the nations, throughout the whole world. Our Lord, in his divine person as King of all, unites them all together into one. And then the petition is a very humble one. Come and save man whom thou didst form out of the slime of the earth. Fundi limo formasti is the Latin. So we think of our humble origin and how our Lord has exalted us, how our Lord has deigned to take our flesh upon himself, not only to die, as St. Thomas once saw so clearly, but also then to rise again. And that this flesh, which is made out of the slime of the earth, now has this divine destiny. You see it now in our Lord and in our Blessed Mother, the glorified body. It's so glorious that we can't even understand that much about it. But we know that it is true. This body of ours made of slime of the earth is not supposed to be treated like slime because of its divine destiny. And one day it is meant to be, with the soul united in the glories of heaven for all eternity. The beauty of the divine plan. Let us ask St. Thomas for a full, complete, balanced, supernatural faith, and for us to have the grace to do our part to spread that faith throughout all of the world. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.